Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Achtung Norwalk, broadcasting from the beautiful South Berlin. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome once again to a grey and an autumnal and overcast South Bermondsey, the den for the visit of Stoke City this afternoon. My name is Nick Hart. You are, of course, listening to Achtung Millwall, the number one Millwall podcast. And they were just awaiting the entrance of the Gladiators. Here they come, in actual fact. That was well timed on me, wasn't it? Millwall in their familiar dark blue short. Millwall in their familiar dark blue shirts. Stoke City in their very, very traditional red and white stripes this afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, your Millwall side this afternoon, Bart Bielkowski in goal. Back line will be Sean Hutchinson, Jake Cooper, scorer that wonderful goal up there at Sheffield United in midweek. Dan Ballard on either side of them will be Ryan Leonard and Scott Malone. Midfield today, a welcome start for Billy Mitchell and alongside George Evans. George Saville being yellow carded out of the game today. Up front, we see Shay Ojo. Another good start, welcome start for Tom Bradshaw. I thought did quite well up there at Sheffield, and the Superman himself, Jed Wallace. Sitting on the Lions bench, we've got George Long, we have Danny McNamara, we've got Murray Wallace, Michael Keefton, Belt, Matt Smith, Alex Pearce, and a welcome sitting on the bench for Conor Mahoney. Will we see him today, I wonder? Game today, dear listeners. After a bit of a tumultuous week, after that very poor showing last weekend against Luton Town, we've gone from the ridiculous to the sublime with that strong, I thought, away win. I know that we rode our luck slightly, but it's still a good away win, a difficult place to go at Sheffield United. We lurched from the sublime to the ridiculous to the sublime, put it the right way around. Who'd be a Millwall fan? Why would you want to be anything else? Let's get it right. I think they're turning up the Hey Jude to deafening levels to avoid any embarrassment over the knee. Oh dear, we got embarrassment. It's going to come back and bite us one day. I keep predicting it, I know. There we are. Finally, after all that, away we go. 17 for the Stoke side. He's took an early blow, he's gone down. So yeah, wonder goal for Jed Wallace. Did he mean it or did he not mean it? He's keeping his counsel, with it spelt with an S-E-L, not a C-I-L, according to the South London press. It was a cross and it drifted in, as in the end, a great shot. He's keeping his counsel on it though. I suppose he's got to make out he meant it. He meant the cross, that's for sure. Floodlights, brilliant in the grey kind of autumnal light. Clocks go back soon, is it tomorrow they go back? He's standing up gingerly. Stoke do come into today's game highly placed on the table. I'll just check their position for you. They come into the game in 7th position, 21 points. We're in 11th on 18 points, just 3 points off that playoff spot. That's going to be a left-sided corner. Millwall under pressure early here. 3 minutes on the clock now. Left-sided corner. The big debate after last weekend was, of course, how Millwall can improve their home form. In comes that corner from the left side. That is headed up and away. Bouncing around still in the penalty area. That is cleared. Stoke keep possession, dear listeners. 3.5 minutes on the left right side. He's gone, player gone sprawling, looking for a penalty, not given. But touch and go, I thought, for a moment now. We have to improve our home form. We can clearly do it well away from home, as the Tuesday night result shows. That win will have relieved any pressure that Gary Rowett would have left the Den last week, feeling, you know, the heat on his neck as he walked out and in the midst of the stand. You'd have heard it on last week's show, dear listeners. But it's doing the business at the Den that's always going to be crucial for any Millwall manager, and that's what he's got to find the recipe to do. 5-3-2 system in the South London in a week doesn't accept the criticism that it's necessarily not a winning formation. He refers to the England side doing well with it, various Premier League outfits playing well with that 5-3-2, and I suppose you would also point at the league table in the last couple of seasons. We had a bit of a debate with Michael and I in the last show about whether it's justified to have criticised him to the level that, you know, that happened against Luton. That was a poor defeat, that's for sure. But I think there's a bigger picture, really, and that's the drabness of the football that we've seen for a long period of time now. Rights and wrongs always hard when it comes to people's reactions in the immediate disappointment of a poor defeat. But the paying customer always has the last word. Speaking after last week's debacle against Luton, Jake Cooper spoke to the Kai Bennett of the South London Press, saying that we went back to the drawing board. That's inverted commas. We went back to the drawing board following the 2-0 defeat, and added that the Lions need to be more aggressive at the Den. There was a strong challenge. That's given away a free kick to Stoke, so it's got to be controlled aggression. Who's this down at the moment? As I'm looking at my notes, it looks like Bennett, Ballard. Sorry. Be a blow if he takes a knock. Ballard now down for some time, dear listeners. Let's hope it's not serious. He's walking away to applause over by the docker stand. I keep calling this the West Stand. I can't shake it. It's the Barry Kitchener stand where I am. A great player, and I just never quite meant it. I suppose I don't see it. I can see the docker stand as I'm in the Barry Kitch stand. I've got one of my resolutions for the new year when it comes. Try and remember this is the Barry Kitchener stand, not the, it is the West Stand, but you know what I mean. Game being played at a reasonable pace. Stoke, I think, are trying to put some time in, if you like, try and keep the ball. Here they come, though, as we tick towards 19 and a half. It's on the left. They've looked a bit of a danger down that left flank. That's a cross that's scuffed. It falls to the 22, I think it was, 1-0. Yeah, the ball fell to him in the D. He just had a fairly easy side foot into the net for 1-0. Just on 20 minutes. We've got to keep their heads up. They've got to come back from this. Been more effort so far than we saw against Luton. But then in fairness, in the first half at least against Luton, we weren't wanting for effort. It was more in the second half when the wheels came off. The pungent aroma of a flare gone off. Where I'm standing, I can't see the Stoke end. But I'm not sure I want to, because I can see like the mist of a flare. And flares, for crying out loud. Another Stoke player down there. Being a scrappy start, really, especially not helped with that goal going in. A lot of people going down, no real continuity in play, so to speak. This is Billy Mitch, just on the right side, 24 minutes. Switches to the left side now. Shea Ojo, Ojo could do with demonstrating some of the promise that we keep talking about. Just looking at our WhatsApp group, listeners, Michael reporting there, people shouting at Rowett for the goal. How is that his fault tactically? There are enough defenders on the edge of the box. They just watched him shoot. And people people are in the zone now where Rowett is now going to become the villain of the piece. It's a hard one. I mean, obviously, last week's performance, this hasn't been a bad performance so far. I haven't seen the goal again, so I can't really comment on it, really. It seemed like he had space and time to shoot, so perhaps there's a criticism there. But if you give good players time and space to shoot, then, yeah, you will be punished, won't you? I think Stoke have brought their ultras down, listeners. Lions need to do something that we're not very good at, and that's get a grip on the game and start dictating to Stoke how this game will run. We tend to be, as a club, and you know, going back to Rowett's article about the merits or demerits, whatever way you want to call it, 5-3-2, we tend to be at the side that's absorbed pressure and then hits on the break. And Stoke don't need to do that now, do they? They can pass the ball around and pick and choose their spots. Stoke having a lot of possession in recent minutes, dear listeners. We're not doing enough to someone to take the ball and run at the Stoke midfield defence. He's got a difficult aerial battle. We keep chipping long balls at Tom Bradshaw. He's up against a really tall central defender in the Stoke side there. So I'm not sure of the wisdom of that particular tactic. But there we go. Ball wide for Jed to chase. I think the goalkeeper will get and does. 33 and a half minutes. Faint boos I can hear. A bit early yet for it. This is Stoke just outside the mill penalty on the right side now. Comes towards 41. Ball in from the left. That's headed. Aren't this dangerous? That should be down and away from Bart under pressure. As the forward was lurking there. Stoke do keep the ball. Edge of the mill penalty area, but that's nice work by Ballard. Holds to Bradshaw. Can he get through? This is Jed on the break. He's got Ojo left. Jed down the middle. What can he do? Tackle at the last moment. Well, good defensive tackle as Jed was surging into the penalty area. That's going to go for a goal kick. Getting those balls over the top, down the middle, into the channels, getting those, the flight and weight of those balls is going to be key, because they're actually dangerous when they're played well, and awful when they're played poorly. And we've seen probably more poor balls than good balls, but we have seen some good balls, so that was one. And when it's played well, it looks dangerous. We've not had some bad moments. I don't know, we're probably going to get a poor reception as they leave the pitch. I think that would be a bit unjustified, because apart from the lapse, I think it was a lapse in defence to give Stoke the chance for the goal. There have been some moments where we've not looked too bad. It's getting the ball through from midfield. It's finding the right weight and flight, location for those balls forward. This is a Mill throwing on the right side, over near the right corner flag. It's run away. It's going to be taken away by the Stoke defence. 6 minutes time allowed. A lot of time down on the floor, that's for sure. And in fairness to the fourth official, they've given it. There it is, half time. Stoke 0, Mill 1. Booing, I don't know about booing for that, listeners. So I'm not one to go against the opinions of the Millwall support generally, am I? I'm Mr. Down the Middle, you know. But that wasn't a bad half by Mill. It's just caught out by moments. Moment too much given for the shot, perhaps. And they're a decent team, Stoke. Some of our balls forward haven't just been quite up to the mark. Anyway, there we are. 0-0 Stoke 1 at the break.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Teams are out for the second half, dear listeners. Big half ahead for a big half ahead. Lost my track of my H's there for the Lions. Booze at half time, you would have heard that as the teams left the field. Bit of a debate online as to the quality of what we've just seen. I think personally we're falling short in the balls over the top. We're second best in this one, in truth. Stoke look a decent side. Ball quality of our balls over the top, which is where we could do damage with the pace up front, the work rate right up front perhaps of Tom Bradshaw. But we've been overhitting them. Big shout out to Mitchell and George, I was just talking to, two fans of the show. I didn't know what to do. Both of the boys came over and said hello to me, shake hands, saying how much they like the show, and it's really nice. But it's quite weird. You're a bit lost for words as to what to say, and apart from thank you, and very kind. So big thank you to Mitchell and Jules. Shout out, boys. Thanks for coming over. It's really nice to see you both. With slight delay on the start of the second half. I don't know what's going on here. The ball, is there an issue with the ball? I'm asking you. You're listening at home. You won't know. Both teams out, but we haven't started. Strange. The referee's come out and now left the field. We were waiting for one of the officials. I didn't quite catch what he said there. Did you hear it? Maybe it recorded better than I heard it. I don't know. I think we're good to go at last. Mill attacking a Coldblow Lane end. In the second half, historically, that was always a good thing as the crowd energy sucked the ball in towards the goal. Not so much in recent games. This is what we need in the second half, though, dear listeners. And we need a big half of football, that's for sure. We need to get the crowd into it. We need to get some action. Shake some action. As the Flaming Groovies once sang, got to shake some action. Evans on the floor now. Afflicted. He's hobbling off for treatment. Matt Smith enters the fray for George Evans. Was that planned, or are we making that move early? I don't know. Either way, it's the right move. Matt Smith comes in. 47 minutes. Claps and applause for that move. Is Stoke on the break, coming down our left, ball's into the middle, cleared by Cooper, and Leonard with the final ball out. We need some Millwall spirit. Ozo gets clattered, Billy's in with a tackle, free kick Millwall. We need some blood and guts, dear listeners, that's what the crowd want. Great long ball from Sean Hutchin, finds Malone on left. This is Shay Ojo. What can he do? He jinks. He's got the ball into the middle. Yes! Tommy Shaw! 15 minutes! Ball in from the left. Shay Ojo slammed home with authority by Tom Bradshaw. 1-8. Game on! We've got our game back there, listeners. We've got it back! Finish. Ball in from the left. Slammed home inside the 6-yard box by Tom Bradshaw. If ever a man deserved the goal, it's Tom Bradshaw. Now let's press on. Let's press on. Ben has exploded, dear listeners. The bad ball to Billy Mitch on the surging run. He's got Jed on the right. Ball back into the middle. Clears at the last. Stoke will be feeling the pressure now. Different kind of den suddenly, but they do bring the ball out. They're a decent team, let's not forget it. 51 minutes, that's deflected for a right-sided Stoke corner. 51 and a half minutes. They're a big team, Stoke. This is the first chance I've really had to get a sight of them. They're a consistently big side, big blokes, tall guys. They're going to need to keep it tight from this corner. 52 minutes on the right. Here it comes. In, swinging inwards. Smith heads clear. Good header. Stoke not looking quite so composed on the ball. The goalkeeper's just hoofed the ball clear there, straight into touch. In the first half, they were finding striped shirts. Mills changed tactics in the second half. What do we want to call it? Enforced changes clearly have unsettled them. Number 9's coming. I think he's a Buddhist. He's got some kind of top knot, beard and top knot, kind of like Russell Brand style image. A follower of the Dalai Lama, perhaps. 60 minutes, half an hour to go in this full-blooded contest. That's a long ball forward from Dan Ballard. It falls down. It's George Evans inside the box. Ball across the box. Explodes! piece for George Bradshaw. He struggled with goals. We all know the story. Was Tom goal machine Bradshaw. 2 goals in the game now. That's brought the crowd into play. Well, I've said for some time that the risk of repeating myself, bring the crowd into play, bring the den in. It's a weapon. Other clubs don't have it. We've got them into play now. Here comes Stoke down the left. Ball into the mix. That's onto the crossbar. Wow. Goal kick. Landed on top of the crossbar, top of the net. This for a long time, listeners, have we? If you're tuning into the show from Timbuktu to the depths of the River Orinoco, from Wagga Wagga in Australia to where else should I say? Murmansk in Russia. You haven't heard the den in full cry for some time. It's great to hear it, in all honesty. I know that, you know, it's temptation to get backbitey when things aren't going well. People start dishing it out. We all know the score. But it's always toxic. It's much, much better, much nicer, shall we say, to hear that the unity of team and crowd. That's what Millwall's all about, and that's the only way we'll ever get anywhere. Man making a kind of a particularly graphic masturbatory gesture at the Stoke fans in front of me. I think his mate got it on camera. I don't know what you do with that, but anyway, probably stick it on the social media and dwell on it for some time. This is a 10 just on the edge of the middle penalty area whilst that's going on. That's hoof clear by Sean Hutchinson. Great header there by Tom Bradshaw. He's really carving out a role for himself today. Ball through Shay Ojo on the right, 65, 66 minutes into the penalty area. Slowed slightly. What can he do? This across the ball to Scott Malone. His shot is dragged wide right. The sting went out of the move as Shay slowed into that penalty area. Nice move. Come to all 67 minutes, halfway through the second half. Well, we'll talk about turn it around, dear listeners. The den feels like a different place to, I can't remember, well, last time it would be pre-COVID, it's felt as good as this. Still got a quarter of the game to go, though, and Stoke are a decent side. They've been very much on the back foot in the second half. There's a mistake there by Hutchins. It does run through to Bart, thankfully. Ojo's coming out to a good applause from the den. That's how football can turn it around. I think he was one of the scapegoats at half-time. And since the turnaround the second half, he leaves the field to applause. Such is the nature of football. In comes Michael Kieftenbelt in his place. Ball's out wide right, 69 minutes. He's put that into touch. They've got like a right-sided midfielder. He's got like a... From this distance, he looks like he's got a receding hairline with a lot of hair at the back. Almost 1970s. Like he could be in Focus. Dutch band Focus. Hocus Pocus. Sylvia. That bloke on keyboards, him. Tice something or other? I don't know. Anyways, the right-sided midfielder's got that kind of... shouldn't really have it that long because you're losing your hair on your head look. Poor ball by Billy. Just gives Hocus Pocus a chance to break forward. They're inside the box. That's... Ooh, he dodged the bullet there. And he dodged another one as he scuffed the shot. Ball into the box. It was just scuffed away as the Mill defender at sixes and sevens there. 73rd minute. Lions dodge a bullet. Helter Skelter. Oh, a handball there. There was a hand on the ball there. I don't know whose hand it was. Stoke were appealing to the referee for a penalty. I think we dodged another bullet, dear listeners. I saw it. And then the ball went inches wide as it came back across the 6-yard line. 6-yard box, excuse me. Good job there ain't no VAR, that's all I'm going to say. Another Millwall substitute, Danny Mack. Coming in for Jed Wallace, who's absolutely run his arse off this afternoon.
We are Millwall,
referee any minute now, dear listeners. Fantastic victory for the Lions. A goal behind at half-time. No obvious route back in sight. Lions turning around the second half. The introduction of Matt Smith. Great, great performance by Tom Bradshaw and the whole team, to be honest, in the second half. Really turned that around. Wonderful, wonderful feeling. Big win for the Lions. And you can hear what the crowd think of it. There you go, dear listeners. Is it cue, Mr. Bye for now? There we are. We haven't heard this for a while, have we, dear listeners? Rocking all over the world. We'll be right back after these messages.
Achtung, Mehlball.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Jerry Skalak here, just left the den. Absolutely delighted with that result. Top performance from Millwall. I was pretty critical about Rowett and the team with his home performance recently, especially against Luton last weekend. I think rightly so. But he's turned it round, and all you can ask for is a response, a positive response, and a win at Sheffield United proves that. And a win today in the performance was very positive as well. I think the first half was a bit flat. It was kind of staying in the game. They scored. We picked up a bit towards the end of that first half, but it was a bit of a disappointing performance. But I thought Stoke, on paper, are a better side than us, if we're honest. And, you know, I think they showed that a bit more in the first half. Evans going off with another knock and us going 4-4-2 completely changed the game. We got on the front foot, we attacked them, we showed that Den passion and that pride that we want to see in a Millwall performance at home. And that was the best sort of 15-20 minutes of Millwall I've seen for a long time. Exactly what we want. Ojo looked a new player. Two excellent crosses. Bradshaw was there to finish both. Tom Bradshaw scored two in a game. Can you believe it? Let alone one. I thought he could have left it a bit longer because I thought they were there for the taking then, Stoke. They were down and out. Maybe we could have scored 3, 4, 5. You know, he did go a bit more defensively, but we looked solid and Stoke really never got back in the game. And I think that was the most important thing, and we saw it out. You know, I don't think Rowett's going to play gung-ho football for 90 minutes. I think we've got to accept that. But he played it for a nice 20 minutes today. We got ahead and then we never really looked like losing from then on. Brilliant performance overall from Millwall. Credit to Gary Rowett. Credit to the players. And that's a massive win today. It really is, because I'm starting to feel pretty optimistic following today. I really am. I think we are starting to look like a good side, and hopefully things are going to continue to look up. So come on, you lovely, lovely Lions.
Hello, Nick. It's Matt Richards here calling up for the first time. Wow, bloody hell. That was, the proverbial game of 2 halves, wasn't it? I mean, the first half was just awful, but, it just shows you what we can do when we change formation. Inadvertently, I don't know, with Evans going off, I don't know. But, Ojo just turns into a different player, doesn't he? Playing down the left, he started to turn it on a bit. Really happy for Bradshaw getting those 2 goals. I mean, what that's going to do to his confidence going forward, who knows? Just got the stadium rocking, didn't it? It's great to see Leonard back in the middle as well. I mean, he's driving runs, we've missed those. Mitchell, Billy Mitch showing loads of energy on the ball. He's into the ball, he's into players and he's passing it. He just gets the team playing, doesn't he? With a bit of energy. And it was just really good to see for those kind of 20, 30 minutes. It just shows you the difference it can make when you get the crowd behind you as well. So let's hope he starts playing a bit more adventurous, so 4-4-2 at home. It shows you it bloody works, doesn't it? Anyway, good to see us winning, and fingers crossed for next time. Come on, you Lions.
Hi, it's Angelo here. Been at the game today. Obviously, the first half was almost like a mirror image of what we witnessed at Luton the other week. So it looked really poor, which was sad after that brilliant performance at Sheffield United. I said to my sons, we just need one more person in the midfield, because the gap's there. There's always gaps in our midfield where they just thread balls through. And in the second half, when we did have the free in midfield, just made such a big difference. And then obviously Smith comes on. I love Smith coming on, because even though he wasn't involved in the goals, I think what he does do is he creates spaces for other players, because he is such a pain to mark. He just causes disruption in the opposition defence. It's just a shame that his legs he's never going to be able to play 90 minutes every single week, unfortunately. But I just love it when he's on the pitch because of disruption he causes. But yeah, brilliant 20 minutes there. And Ojo, some brilliant bits from Ojo. There's a few people in the crowd giving Ojo a bit of stick, but there's quite a bit of class from the guy. And Bradshaw just in the right place. I would have scored them 2 goals, but he's got into the right position. I thought Leonard was brilliant today. A little bit worried about Billy. Billy first half was nowhere to be seen. What worries me about Billy, everybody loves Billy, but he still looks like he's got a child's body as opposed to a man's body. But he was a lot better in the second half, and he got more involved. But yeah, it was a good atmosphere. It was a good finish, and we can't complain, can we? 4 wins out of 5.
And what a game, dear listener. What a game. Honestly, there were moments in that first half, and I put them online, where I thought it might seem going to be a bit drab. It's not going to be all that, not going to be too great. I thought Stoke at times in that first half were the better side. And the goal they scored, yes, we did give them a lot of time. Sort of had that touch and put it in the top corner. But I did think they were better than us. But I don't think it was a bad half a mil. I don't think we were poor. I don't think we were sloppy. I don't think there was many sort of, what's the cliche, unforced errors. I just think that Stoke were just better than us in that first half. But that second half, wow. Wow. It reminds me of that Space Jam scene. For those who've seen the film where Michael Jordan gives them the drink, the magic stuff, and they all drink it. And lo and behold, they become like a really, really good team suddenly. So I don't know what happened at halftime, but it was exceptional. 4-4-2 does help. I wouldn't say it was all down to the tactics, but that was a huge, huge part of it. Bradshaw, wow. What a couple of goals he got. Ojo, you actually put him out on the wing rather than try and play him as his 10 or in the middle, and he shows how dangerous he is, which is what Nick and I discussed the other day. Some people on Ojo's back again. I really can't understand too much why. Smith come on, did okay. Leonard, I think he was an outside for player of the match because there was a lot of times where he had that ball and he just run and he drove with it or he run into the space. Really, really good second half. And do you know what? I think that really showed character for Gary Rowe and his team, because at the half time with the boos, a lot of people where I was sat were giving him stick, which I thought was a little bit unfair, but it was a little bit of stick nevertheless. And come on, it's 2-1. It's 2-1 win when 1-0 down against the team who were really good and well organised and were on the front foot in the first half. I think I heard on the radio on the way back there's something like 7 or 8 teams now all on the same points, and I think there's something like 6 points or 7 points between 3rd and 12th in the division, which is crazy. And we're up there with it. So come on, we've just got to stay positive, stay with this team, because we're really starting to build something now and we're really starting to look good. And it just showed as well, in my opinion, that when the Den is in full voice and we're behind the team and supporting the team, even a well-organised team like Stoke just falls apart. Gary Rowett, you got a lot of unnecessary stick recently, which at times I felt was deserved. But when I say recently, I mean in the last game or two with some people not agreeing with your tactics. But yeah, you got it right 2 games in a row. Well done, Gary. Come on, you Lions.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Huge thank you to the chaps for leaving those 2 voicemails for us there. But next up on the show, we have another exhilarated Millwall fan, Graham Payne. How you doing, Graham?
Good, mate. Good.
What a day yesterday. It's the old days yesterday.
Second half, yes.
Second half. Yeah.
The first half wasn't the old days.
No, I don't know why. I had Gladiator in my mind. And with the booing off at half-time, it felt a bit like a scene from the gladiatorial arena, because it was cheered off at the end like the conquering hero. But at half-time, it didn't look so good, did it, at the end of that first half?
No. And you know, I think he would have changed it, but it was obviously false when George Evans was injured. But
yeah,
for that 20 minutes when he went 4-4-2, I mean, that was what we want, wasn't it? You know, it was entertaining, it was exciting.
Yeah.
And then we got the 2 goals, and obviously then, I think that was a deflating moment for me when he took Ojo off. I just thought the guy's running, you know, he found his where he wants to play on that left wing.
Yeah, and didn't he look good out there? Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, well, give it, you know, why can't we give it another 10, 15 minutes, see if we can get the 3rd goal? But obviously that's not how Gary Rowett works, is it?
It must be the mindset of the football manager. And it's you know, obviously, you know, yourself, me, listeners, you know, we're fans and we want, I think we've said plenty of times last week and this week, I think he was made fully aware of what we want, which is entertainment fundamentally, I believe. And then the results, very close second. But I think really you want to leave the Den feeling a little bit like we did yesterday, where, I mean, I was just reminded that there's been a long time for us all since we were at Millwall and left feeling like we did yesterday. And it was a familiar feeling. But a long while ago, because with COVID and the lockdown and all the rest of it. But that's what you want. You know, you've got to send the crowd out with that buzz, Graham. Otherwise, we're not Millwall, are we?
No. And we, once the equaliser came, the crowd were in it then.
Absolutely. Know? Yeah.
That's when he gets, that's what he must see, that if he gives us what we want, you know, we're then the 12th man.
You know, yeah, well, it's the secret weapon that nobody else really has in that league. Yeah. I know they talk about, you know, likes of Stoke having a decent crowd and others, but really, there's no place like the Den, in my opinion. I've not seen them, not seen it yet. If there is one out there, I haven't seen it. And it is something. It is, you know, we can't match other teams for resources, Graham, but we can bring the Den crowd into play, and that for the first time for a long time. Was what happened yesterday in that second half period.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the first time this season. So, you know, and, you know, we've been brought into it, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, for that 20 minutes, I know I keep back, that was what, you know, what you want to see down the Den, isn't it?
Well, that's what we go to Millwall for. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, the old insight, you really might as well go to Cheltenham. You might as well go to Palace. Because, you know, if it's not that, what we had yesterday for that brief 20 minutes or so, when, you know, players suddenly looked like they're in familiar positions and everyone seemed like, you know, there was a coherence to the way we were playing. Yeah. For that period, no, you just, it was a reminder, I suppose. It was just like, oh yeah, this is why we come here, not to be miserable, you know, to be lifted in some way. I mean, I'm wondering, I'm interested to see what you think, really, Graham, but I mean, is that potentially a turning point for the season? Does it feel, it feels a little bit like it. But his instincts took over, didn't they? Because you made the point already. You had an attacking lineup there, and we could have got a third, maybe more even, but certainly a third, which would have really put it to rest. But he's, Gary's Rowett's instincts are those of a defensive-minded manager. Maybe it's because his living's on the line, isn't it? But that's the thing that bothers me a little bit, because there was a time there to press on, I felt.
Yeah, and his instinct was get Kifton Bell on.
Yeah.
And then go back to free midfield, and you know, and then he obviously later on he took Jed off and all, and then we just didn't have an outlet then.
We've got nothing. No. I mean, Jed's an interesting point, and I was gonna, what struck me, I'm interested to see what you think, but you know, we're really focusing on that period after half time, really, aren't we? I mean, everything I'm saying, I'm really conscious. I'm talking about that 4-4-2 attacking den period, and we're talking about 20 minutes or so after the break. But for that period, I was really struck by the fact that Ojo came into his own on the left. Jed, we were not totally reliant on Jed for everything. And that's what really stood out for me, because Ojo came into it. And, you know, the threats were down the left side. Ryan Leonard, another player that stood out yesterday.
I thought he was immense, Leonard, when he went into midfield in the second half.
Yeah.
Billy Mitchell grew into the game and all in the second half. And, you know, I feel that he's got to give Leonard and possibly Mitchell and all a run in midfield. The days of, you know, I'm sorry, George Evans, he's not a midfield player. He's not a defender. He's just a fill-in when we're, you know, we've got a few injuries. That's how I see it.
And, well, yeah.
You know, and I just feel Leonard gave us so much more energy in that midfield. You know, he set the second goal up. And, you know, I know he does a job at right wing back, but, you know, I think he deserves a run in midfield now after, you know, watching that yesterday. Because he's not played in midfield at all this season, has he?
No, he's been played out of position.
Been at wing back.
And, I mean, again, you know, it feels a bit picky in the aftermath of winning well as well, although we were clinging on a little bit towards the end.
Yeah.
We'll come back to the kind of game itself, if you like, in a minute. But I mean, Ryan Leonard being played in position was a fantastic sight. I mean, for any listeners that didn't see the stream yesterday, the thing that really stood out was we had a dynamic, thrusting midfielder, suddenly a bloke willing to take the ball, make tackles, and then run with it, Graham. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen that.
A long time. And it was good to see, you know, it changed the dynamic of the game.
It drove us on, didn't it? Yeah. I mean, when the crowd needed something, and the change was forced because of the injury to Evans. He was playing with a plaster cast on his hand, and you know, I feel like I've dug out George Evans a little bit for no great reason. Do you know what I mean? He's not a bad player, and he has a place. But I don't think he's a first choice midfielder for me. From what I saw yesterday, it'd be a travesty if Ryan Leonard is not named in midfield. Now, whether this is going to force some sea change on Gary Rowett in terms of using the 4-4-2 formation, because I don't know how you see it, but you know, there's been a lot of digging at Rowett online, rightly so, given some of the performances. But the five-man defence actually does have a place for it. And we saw that on Tuesday night at Sheffield, where we had to soak up the pressure.
I think I messaged you in the week. I mean,
his
record away from home, he's got to be up there with the best in my time for a manager. You know, we've always been, what our class is, poor away from home.
Yeah.
We've always been a home side. But his tactics away from home do work. But they're not going to work at the den where it's, you know, you've got to make the game. You can't, you know, you're not going to be able to play the tactics you play away at the den. I just don't see it.
Well, I mean, the point away from home is that you do want to kill the atmosphere. Yeah. You do want to. I mean, maybe if we take 1,000, we've probably done well for an away trip. Sometimes more, sometimes less than that for midweekers. But you know, you do want to kill off the home crowd. You do want to put a kind of a duvet over the game, if you like, and bring it down. Then you can we do the hitting on the break part, which we do quite well. But that won't wash at the Den. The Den, Graham. You know, you and me have been around a track a few times at the Den, haven't we, between us? Yeah. And it's a place of emotion. It's theatre there. You know, you can't be killing it off there. I'm hoping that Gary Rowett reads the room on this, because as a manager, I've no reason to you know, I think he's been certainly put straight this week on what the crowd want to see at the Den. And if he can get that right at the Den, then this could yet be a really decent season for us.
I agree with what you're saying. I still think we're a little bit short, though. I do feel in certain positions, and obviously with injuries and all, but there's the ongoing issue with what do they do with Jett. I personally think we've just got to see the season out of him, and if he goes, he goes, because of, you know, the situation we're in. We could end up in the playoffs, couldn't we? And then,
well, we could.
It's probably a long shot, but you know,
the league table is a really strange thing. I was just trying to find it, and I haven't got it to hand, listeners. But the league table at the moment is, I'm from, I think, Luton. I think they're in fifth, and all the way down to just below us in 11th. Everyone's on 21 points. I think there's a lot of, I'd probably put us in this category, so I'm not overplaying this, but I think there's a lot of okay sides without anyone really, you know, being so stellar that you say, wow, you know, look at what they've just done. So I think there's every chance, and there's no reason why, if we use our weapons well, and that one of those weapons, as we've said a couple of times already here, Graham, is the Den, because... Yes. It was alive yesterday, wasn't it? You know, the crowd were into it. Good atmosphere.
It, you know, you walked out there yesterday for the first time this season, you know, buzzing. You've seen what you want to see. And, you know, and that is a major weapon for us. And surely Gary Rowett must realise that. He must.
One of my personal markers when I'm walking away from the Den is whether there's still chanting going on in the tunnel as you walk out through Zampa or Stockholm Road, depends where we're going. If people are still cheering and chanting there, then you know you've had a good win. Yeah. And then if they're still carrying it on as I walk down Ilderton Road to get away back to the car, if there's still one or two going out there as well. So, you know, that was yesterday. Now, I know that's probably a bit of a relief after a long dry period. But, you know, that shows what's... there's a hunger for it at the Den, Graham, and you know everyone's had a tough year, and I think there's a real sense around the crowd that they want what we had for those 20 minutes yesterday. I mean, I thought Stoke yesterday were in the first half were a decent side. They looked a big side as well, and I was struck by their physique. If you want, they all looked like men against boys at times in the first half. I felt
that the guy who scored the goal, Sawyers. Was he was running the game
strong.
You know, and they could have scored in the first couple of minutes. Park pulled off a great save,
he did.
And you know, once they got that first goal, you automatically think, here we go again, you know.
Yeah.
And did we really have an attack of any substance in the first half? I'm struggling to rethink of one, but. It seemed a lot of overhit passes, you know,
going down from
the back and from not picking on him, but George Evans in particular. But at half time, I could only see the game going the same way as the previous Saturday, if I'm honest.
I agree. Incidentally, on a tangent, this is, I'm going to set up a new thing, a George Evans bingo, and then we're going to sell tickets for the first mention. And we'll give it to charity. The first mention of George, you can do like the old beat the clock. I don't know if anyone remembers that from Coldblow Lane, long time ago. But you could sell tickets on how long before George Evans gets mentioned. The first slagging of George Evans. But you're right. I mean, I lost count in the first half of what could have been a decent ball, because both Jed and Bradshaw were looking to run on, beat the ball over the top. all over hit or going for goal kicks or chase down into the corner. I don't know, you name it, you know, and that was the story of the first half. I've seen the goals this morning, and I think Billy probably just gave the goal scorer a touch of space in the D. And I'm being a bit harsh there, but there we are, goal got scored. So there's got to be a bit of accounting on, you know, in the analysis afterwards. And I must admit, it was hard to see a way back at halftime, Graham. I couldn't really see what we were going to do, but other than what happened, which I didn't expect, which was to switch to 4-4-2, an old school Millwall. But
do you think he would have done that, or he was forced into it?
Yeah, there's the $64,000 question. I mean, what I would say, the team got booed off at halftime, and I despite it us being on the back foot, really, for me in the first half, I felt it was a little harsh. I think there's a bit of a habitual sense that if you're behind at half-time, that means you've got to boo them off. And I don't buy that entirely, because I don't think we were wanting for effort out there, Graham. It's just that it was being misfocused, not applied correctly. And, I mean, I'm way up higher away from where Gary Rowett stands, but I hear that... you know, there was one or two comments being made in these directions. So I don't think it was under any illusion as to what would be required to avoid, you know, another beasting in the second half. The injury to George Evans, yeah, I think that probably forced his hand, right? Because bringing Matt Smith in at that point, it seemed to induce a panic and Stoke had looked in control up until that point for me. And they just went to pieces, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And I don't know why, because they had, as you said, they're a big side. The big guy at the back, he must be nearly 7.
Oh, he looked the equal of Matt, and Matt's a big boy, isn't he? You know, six foot seven or whatever he is. I don't know how big he is, but they seem to. And I don't know why. You're right. I can't account for it, but it just seemed to induce a bit of panic. But I think a few things came together with that injury to after the break. And obviously, Evans left the field, so. A fairly what's the word? Not static, but a player that will, a more defensively minded player, perhaps, left the field, and Leonard then moved into midfield, didn't he? At that point,
yeah.
And Leonard's instinct was to drive forwards, and that suits the Dens mentality.
Yeah.
Well, they used to sing attack, attack, attack. You know, that's suddenly what you got in that moment. Ojo looked at home on the left. And he was getting some stick at half-time too, Graham.
He got a lot of stick. I mean, you've only got to look in line. You know, he has got a lot of stick. But for that period of time when he was wide on the left, he looked dangerous. He set the goal up.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did look dangerous. And then, obviously, as we said earlier, it got cut short because Gary Rowett decided, you know, that we can't afford to stay at 4-4-2. And we need to change it again. But, yeah, he did look dangerous. And I mean, I also think Bradshaw is much better suited with another guy up front with him.
Yeah. I think that's how he was signed originally, wasn't it? It was under Neil Harris that he got signed. And, he's the classic kind of, I suppose, like Lee Gregory, really. He needs the big man to get the knockdowns, you know.
Yeah.
But he's also got a goal scorer's instinct because, you know, a couple of people, I think one of the messages that we just played said that, you know, if you're in the right position, then you and me could put it in, couldn't we? You know, and that's true if you're in the right position. But there's the hard part. You've got to put yourself in the position to take the cross. Both decent balls in. One was from Ojo and the other one, I think, was Ryan Leonard. I thought it was Ojo in real time, but, you know, you only get one go at that. So Ryan Leonard got the assists, as they called it, for the other one. But two simple goals, but they all count the same. And I thought he did really well to put them both in, you know.
Yeah, he did. Well, I'm going back a few weeks now, but similar sort of chance at Swansea. I don't know if you remember that in that away game. But, them two, he took them away, you know, nicely. But...
Well, it becomes a piano on your back, as they used to call it out to Sheringham. You know, you get the piano off your back. And it must weigh hard. I mean, you know, I've never played professionally. I've never even played very much at school. So, you know, to have the pressure of that on your shoulders, I mean, he's not the first or last striker that will suffer with that. But it was great to see him tuck that away. We've mentioned Ryan Leonard already. We've mentioned Ojo. I also want to name check than Ballard, Graham, because I think a bit like Ojo, actually, just going back to Ojo for a moment, you know, those that were booing him, maybe in the second half we saw the player that he should be. And he's also a brave boy, because he made a defensive header at one point in the second, right down in front of me. And he put his head in where the boots were flying. So he doesn't want for spirit, let's put it that way. You know, I think sometimes people miss these little moments unless they're right in front of them. But that's what I saw. I think he's a quality turn. But Dan Ballard, just going back to Dan, strong player, brave boy. I like the look of him. I'm hoping we can keep him, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think he could probably get in the Arsenal squad now. I mean, you know, with their defensive frailties.
Yeah, they don't look much in defence.
You know, he's looked so at home, hasn't he, from the day one.
I like him. I like him a lot. He looks like a Millwall player.
He does. He does.
You know, we'll see once the end of the season comes. And then, as you say, Gary Rowett's penchant for going defensive kind of took away the sting out of the game after, you know, after we went 2-1 up. I suppose he'd probably point at the league table, Graham, and argue that a 2-1 win as against giving up the chance of a 2-2 draw is more valuable to him. And he's, you know, a manager under pressure will probably always take the percentage route. I mean, it's not so great to watch it, but it's we were clinging a little bit, I think, at times. There was a penalty shout. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I think it was.
I think
Malone,
it was.
Definitely, and.
Yes. And I mean, we dodged the bullet.
The referee's right there. I don't know what he saw.
Don't know. Maybe he just didn't fancy walking off the gauntlet. He'd heard what was going down as well. Yeah. It was old school atmosphere suddenly. And you know, maybe, I don't know, these things might play a part. I don't know. Is top six suddenly a prospect for us, Graham? And is it realistic? I mean, you've mentioned being short in certain departments. I know what you mean. We still have a squad that looks a little thin at times, don't we?
Yeah. Well, it's when you say like this, is it five or six teams on 21 points?
Yeah, seven sides.
It is realistic. Yeah. I mean, I think there's three sides. I mean, Bournemouth, West Brom and Fulham are the three standout sides of the division.
Yeah.
The rest... all the muchness to me, I think, you know.
I'm just found that I've went through the internet comments. There's loads, listeners. I too many to name more, but this one from Mike Wills yesterday. Brilliant result from Reluctant Rowett. I think that's a good nickname, Reluctant Rowett. Stuck with a 4-4-2 for 10 minutes. But the point being, if we were in this position in January, Mike says, it would be criminal if the ball didn't go for it, as this is really a poor league and we won't get a better chance. I mean, we probably said that for a couple of seasons now, Graham, where we won't get a better chance. But I think as you look around the division, excluding those parachute payment sides, really, aren't they, with Premier League money, well, they do look, you know, like they've used it well. But I think, you know, we do have a chance. Shall the ball go for it? I don't know. I mean, probably going for it does mean taking the chin on, you know, the blow on the chin of Jed leaving at the end of the season, if that's how it works out. Yeah. But no, I do believe that we have the best opportunity, just because if we get our act together and if we play the right way as we did yesterday and we keep the really away form that we've been putting together, well, there's absolutely no reason why we can't think in terms of top six.
I think the crucial part, though, is the home form of it all.
Yes, yes.
If he can get a formula at home, you know, then the crowd and everything, and that would be a major part of it all. You know, we can hope, obviously, the away form continues. It's been good, as it has been since he's been here. But
yeah,
if he can get the home form sorted, then we are a serious proposition, I think.
I agree. I mean, there's another one there. I've got Charlie from the Isle of Dogs. Rowett took Ojo off too soon. I think that's probably consensus amongst us all. I mean, we could give him maybe another 10 minutes before we shut up shop. Charlie says, we were on top and we looked like scoring again. As it was, we lost the initiative and we were under siege for long periods and they could have levelled. If we had scored again, it would be above. We would be above Stoke. Goals are important. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Gary Rowett is who he is. We're probably fortunate to have seen even the brief 20 minutes of old-fashioned Millwall football.
It's not that bad. unfortunately.
So, take it while you can, listeners. Another good point, actually. I mean, Jim Lyon here, the one I picked out, he was talking about the improvement in the midfield, second half midfield performance, 50-50s being one. And as he put it here, even 40-60s being one. And I think that was a big turnaround from the first half, Graham, wasn't it? That's dynamism.
What I said, I mean, Leonard going in there. And I think Billy Mitchell grew into the game and all.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, winning tackles and, you know, and the midfield second half was probably the best I've seen at home from the midfield this season.
Yeah.
You know, it's been non-existent. I mean, we go on about the strikers and the lack of goals, but how many chances are created for these strikers? You know, and that's the major problem. Issue I think for two or three seasons since Saville left for Middlesbrough, we've always had a problem in that midfield area of creating obviously scoring goals to help out the front players. You know,
I agree. Standout really was that the Leonard performance in the cold light of day, 24 hours on, but also the deft balls into dangerous positions for a striker that can score goals, but give him the service. I think we probably expect a lot of our strikers being fed on scraps to score goals, and you've got to be absolute top drawer to do that. So, well done. Who was your man of the match yesterday, Graham? Who would you choose?
I think Ryan Leonard for me. I know Tom Bradshaw was going because of the goals, but I just think for his overall performance, you know, Ryan Leonard.
I think on balance, I mean, as I was leaving the ground, I sent a text. I think I said Bradshaw because of the two goals, because they're spectacular, of course. And people, you know, made that point. Ryan Leonard needs to be named as well. I think I went with Bradshaw more out of a kind of sense of sympathy or something like that. I think just it was nice to see him get some success after a long, must seem like a long, barren spell for him. So, well done, Tom Bradshaw. Well done, Ryan Leonard. Because you know, the dynamic running from midfield was key yesterday. Well done, the whole team, for that matter. And if you're listening, Gary Rowett, that's the way to get cheered out of the den rather than slaughtered. Oh, dear. Huge thank you. I would if I was him. But anyway, huge thank you to Graham Payne for taking time out of your day, Graham. Really appreciate it, mate. No, thanks for coming on. And we'll be talking again very, very soon with Graham. Thank you for listening, dear listeners. I hope you've enjoyed this post-win show. You always get bigger numbers for the post-win show, so I'm hoping that we can get some money for the wonderful Lions Food Hub very, very soon as a result of all these clicks that people will be hopefully doing. Big thank you, Graham. And until the next show, which will be next week after Huddersfield, arrivederci, Millwall.
Listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci, Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.